from the 20th chapter of Revelation. I will not take time to read the entire chapter. I'm going to take you immediately to verse number 11. John is speaking here. I would like for you to realize that the millennial reign of Christ has just been concluded. Satan has just been bound, and he has been cast into the bottomless pit. All of the false prophet, all of this crowd, they no longer on the face of the earth, they're gone. And immediately following this, John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. Now you remember a few weeks ago when I preached to you concerning the judgment seat of Christ, I reminded you that this judgment would take place following the first resurrection. You remember Paul admonishes us to seek and strive to have part in the first resurrection. He says, if you have part in the first resurrection, then the second resurrection, or the death, has no dominion over you. All right? Now then, you are about to witness, by the reading of the word, the second resurrection. When we the Christians are resurrected, the people who die in sin will remain in the grave, or in the their bodies will remain there, their souls will remain in Hades, which is below, a place of torment. But now then, Hades is about to be emptied. They are about to come forth, the resurrection of the dead. John said, I saw this great white throne, and he who sat upon this throne, he was so bright and radiant that all of the elements around about us, they just seemed to disappear in the brightness and the beauty of him that sat upon the throne. And he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, mark that word, and the books, notice that it is plural, were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead, notice this word dead. Now, if you were to go back to the original text and you were to seek out the truth of the Greek here, you would find that this word dead here means those who died away from Christ. It's more than just what we call death. It is dying without Christ. He says the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Notice there, this is the second death. They've already died once. They're coming forth, not to life everlasting, but to be cast back again into a lake of fire. Notice the last verse, 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now this is a dreadful picture. This is a horrible sight, because every person who stands here already knows what the verdict is. There will not be one Christian among the whole crowd, not one. There will not be one righteous one there, no one save he that sits upon the throne. All of the Christians have already gone. They are at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The tribulation period has been over with. The great battle of Armageddon is over. All of this is finished up. And all of the dead who died in sin, they have been called forth. Those that died from the time of Adam until the end of time, they're standing there. You notice there that it says, and death and hell shall give up the dead that are in them. If you were to study this word death here, it means the people who are dead but yet alive. These are the people who come through the great tribulation period. He said the sea will give up the dead that are in that. Death and hell will give up the dead that is in it. And then he says, and death, meaning the death, those that are dead in sin, that came through the tribulation period, they'll be standing there to be judged. This is the scene. Jesus Christ himself is sitting upon the throne, ready to judge people according to their deeds, number one, but according to the things written in the books. I want to talk to you tonight about those books. There is no place that tells us exactly how many books there'll be there, but I would like to give you a little demonstration tonight, visual. We're going to say that this is book number one that's going to be opened. This is going to be the book of the law. It's going back to Mount Sinai when the law was given, when God pinned down on tablets of stone what he required of man. And this law became a schoolmaster to show man what God required of him and to show man that it was impossible for him to acquire or to become what God wanted him to do within himself. The law, the Ten Commandments, all of this was a means of God teaching and training people as to what God required of them. I hear people say, oh, but Brother Gorman, I feel if I keep the Ten Commandments that I'll make it to heaven. That's right, honey. If you keep the Ten Commandments, you're going to make it. But no one's ever kept the Ten Commandments without the help of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's the whole problem right there, dear, because no one could keep the Ten Commandments. If they could have kept the Ten Commandments, your Lord and mine would have never died on the cross of Calvary. That's right. You can't even keep the first of the Ten Commandments. You can't even love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, and strength apart from the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the part of the law. The law's going to be laying there. It's going to show what God required of man. I believe book number one will be the book of the law. It's going to show there exactly pinned out right before us. This is what God expected you to be, and no man could measure up to that. This is what we find in the Old Testament, that all through the Old Testament, they tried to come to that place and that position in God whereby they could live and they could obey God and they could be acceptable in the sight of God. But not one person was truly acceptable in the sight of God under the measure of the law. But every man that died under the law, he died in the faith that someday Jesus Christ would come. He died believing that Jesus would come. This is what Paul meant in Romans chapter number 8. He says, and what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh, that we, who are the children of righteousness, should not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit to the living God. This is why that we find penned in the New Testament that it says, they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth, because it is impossible for a man to please the Lord except he be born again. Hallelujah. When we're born again, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our first birth, the natural birth, leaves us totally inadequate of measuring up to what God wants us to be. But God said, I'll put a new heart within them. They tried to measure up to the law, but every time they tried, they fell miserably on their faces And finally they said, there's no use. We cannot do it. That's why the scripture says, in the fullness of time, when man was totally convinced that he could do nothing apart from God's divine grace, then God, in the fullness of time, sent forth his Son, born of a woman, who took my place on the cross of Calvary. And he says, what Gorman couldn't do, because he was weak through the flesh, I will do for him. And Jesus Christ says, I came not to do away with the law. No man has ever really fulfilled the law. No man can measure up to the law. But Jesus says, I have come not to do away, but to fulfill. He fulfilled the requirements of the law in detail and took my place on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And so today, when I want to come to him, I do not go back to the law, but I come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Father, I stand here in the name of thy Son Jesus and make known unto thee my request and my petition. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah! It is by him and through him that we have everlasting life. That's book number one. Then book number two is going to be open. Book number one shows you what God requires. Book number two is the book of the gospel. It shows what God did because I couldn't measure up. So now I'll help you. We call that grace. We call that the good news. When man could not fulfill it, the good news came. And on that hillside that night, those shepherds heard the angels singing. Then there come a thundering voice to them that says, fear not, for I bring thee glad tidings. Oh, I bring you good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ said, had I not come and spoken, you would not have known sin. In other words, you would have had an excuse. You could not measure up within yourself. He said you would have had a cloak or a covering for your sin. Had Jesus Christ not come, I could have stood at the judgment bar and I could have said, Father, I tried every way that I could, but I could not measure up. I did all that I could, but I was totally inadequate of measuring up to the fullness of the law. And all heaven would have had to say that's true. But not since Jesus Christ came, because what I could not do, Jesus Christ did for me. Hallelujah. What I could not do, Jesus took my place and did for me. So today I come in the name of Jesus Christ, and he made the way for me. Hallelujah. That's the good news. That's book number two. See, had only book number one been written, then all of us would have had an excuse. But now that book number two has been written, there is no excuse. Amen. Not one person, hear me tonight, not one person in this building has any legitimate excuse for not being a Christian tonight. So many people say, I cannot live it. I cannot live it. That's right, you can't. No one can live it within themselves. But when Jesus steps into your heart and life, he lives it in you. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's why when I lead a sinner in prayer, as I begin to lead them in prayer, I say, repeat after me. Dear Lord, forgive me of my sins. And I take them right on. And I bring them to that point where that I say to them, and now, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he stands at our heart's door and he knocks there. He's waiting for you to invite him to come in. And the moment you invite Jesus Christ into your heart and your life, he comes in and takes up his abode there. That's why that Paul could say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Because the life I'm presently living, I do not live by myself. He lives it in me. Amen. That's why the scripture says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. But when Jesus came into my heart and life, he imputed into me the righteousness which cometh from him. And that righteousness begins to grow until the Father sees the righteousness which is of Christ and not my own self-righteousness when he looks upon me. Amen? Then there is another book. Book number 3. First we have the law. The law says to us, this is what God requires. Man studied the law and said, I cannot measure up to it. God said, that's right, but I've got good news for you. Jesus is coming, and he's going to help you live it. And then man says, that's right. The gospel has come. But how do I know? How do I know which is right? How do I know which is wrong? How do I know which way to take? And then there is going to be another book. The book that has to do with the works of God the Holy Ghost. And God the Holy Ghost is going to be standing there as a witness, and the book will be open. What's going to be in this book? Hear me closely. Let nothing detour you from what I'm about to say. In that book will be recorded every time the Holy Spirit has ever dealt with you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Don't turn it away. Don't feel like that it's not important. If the Holy Spirit says to Bob tonight while I'm preaching, I want you to begin praying an hour a day, that's recorded yonder in heaven. When Bob Petrie stands before the judgment bar of God according to the scripture, that book will be open and it'll be recorded there that on this particular day, the first day of July, 1973, that God spoke to Bob Petrie and told him what to do. And then that will be recorded, and across in the book of his deeds will be recorded whether he did it or whether he didn't. Amen. Every sinner that's been invited to come to Jesus Christ, the day they were invited, the time they were invited, the circumstances around it, is recorded in the works of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. You can rest assured, dear, that God the Father is going to have his witness there, which is the law. That's what God requires. You can rest assured that the gospel is going to be there. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that we'll be judged out of those things which are written in the Bible, the New Testament. We're going to be judged according to those. And you can be assured that God the Holy Ghost will be there. Amen. Whenever God deals with you about those private sins, about those little nuggets of bitterness that you have tucked away, the resentment, the hatred you have toward people, the things that ought not be there, and you think you have covered up so very pious, and you think that you have hid them from everyone, you have hid them from man maybe, but not from the eyes of God Almighty. He has pinpointed it. Last night I preached across the lake over here in a prayer meeting, and after service, there was a fine young man that walked up to me. He must have been about 30 years of age. And I shook hands with him, and I said, I'm Brother Gorman. He said, I know. And I said, what is your name? He says, sir, you have told me so much about myself tonight. I thought God had already told you what my name was. And he stood there with tears in his eyes and began to talk to me. He says, you told me everything that I'm going through tonight. You read my life, and I know you don't know who I am. And for an hour after the service, Brother Fullenwater can witness this, he stood there and talked to me and says, the very things that I'm going through, the very problems that I'm fighting, the difficulties I'm involved in, you name them one by one tonight, as if somebody had sat down with you and told you my
entire life. He's a businessman out here in Medley that had drove across there to be in the prayer meeting last night. My dear friend, you know what? He knows what God said to him, but that's recorded yonder in heaven. And one of these days when Mr. Skiro stands before God Almighty, he's going to face what the Holy Ghost told him on that particular night. Amen. You hear your pastor tonight? If I'm wrong on this, the whole Bible's wrong. God's keeping a record. Amen? When you stand there, there'll be no argument. The books will be open. And God's going to show you what he did to try to help you. Amen? Boy, I've had people to tell lies on me that I never even thought of. The Holy Ghost recording that. Amen? I've had people to tell things on me that never entered my mind. But they're going to face that. Amen? And I've seen people who would be under conviction. And God would deal with them. They'd lay the blame to this or that or something else. But the real truth is recorded. Amen? And you're looking at a man tonight that believes from the depths of his heart that you are what you are because you want to be. Nobody made you. Amen? You're just as godly as you want to be. You have just as much of Christ as you want. And you're just as deep in sin as you want. No wife can keep a man from God if he wants to live for God. No man can keep a woman from God who wants to live for God. No parent can keep a teenager from God who wants to live for God. Friend, when God begins to deal with your poor soul, that's recorded yonder. And one day you'll have to face it. God knows every time he spoke to you. I know God tells me a lot of things. He's already told me tonight of approximately 6 people that he's speaking to in this service tonight who are not ready. And I could lay my hand on you right now if I was a mind to. I could walk to you and tell you some of the things that's keeping you from coming to this altar if I was a mind to. But you know what? He just showed me a little bit. He has recorded everything yonder. Amen? We have people who say, oh, but Brother Gorman, there's too much noise in your church. Let me tell you something, friend. It's going to take more noise to keep me away from God. Amen? And you think there's noise here, you better shun the white throne judgment. Because I'll take you next Sunday night, if nothing happens, into the actual scene of what's going to happen to every person after they have been judged at the white throne judgment. I'll take you step by step according to Scripture what's going to happen. You've never heard noise like you're going to hear at the white throne judgment. The works of the Holy Spirit are recorded. The works of the Holy Spirit are recorded. Some of you have come to me recently and said to me, Brother Gorman, God's been dealing with my heart to do this or do that. Danny walked up to me a few Sunday nights ago and said to me, Brother Gorman, I believe God's fixing to do a great thing in this church. And he broke and choked. And he said, I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. And as he said that to me, I said, Danny, I want you to be a part of it. And God wants you to be a part of it. This wasn't me telling him to do that. That wasn't someone else telling him. That was God, the Holy Spirit, that was recorded. I spoke to Daniel Flanagan on such and such a night to involve himself as never before in the work of God. These things are recorded. Some of you have come to this altar and you said, God, give me a chance and I'll teach a Sunday school class. Give me a chance and I'll sing in the choir. Give me a chance, Lord, and I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do the other. Friend, what you forget is that that's recorded. That's recorded. And you're going to have to face it. You say, oh, Brother Gorman, I'd like to get more involved, but I can't because of this and I can't because of that and I can't because of the other. How many times have God opened doors for you to get involved and you let them slip by? That's recorded. Amen? The Bible says that every word, even to the idle words of a person, is recorded. That's what the Bible says.
You need to pay close attention to what the Spirit is saying to you. You need to. I know sometimes that people think I'm just a little square because that I act and react as I do. But did you know I'm preaching to you tonight? One of these days you'll have to stand and give account for this service, the message and everything that's involved in it. But you're not the only one. I've got to give account for what I preach, and I've got to give account to whether I obey the Spirit while I preached or not. Amen. And that's a big responsibility. Hallelujah. I can preach the same message that I'm preaching and preach it in the flesh and not do 1 hour of good. Or I can preach it as God lays it on my heart in love. And it's recorded. Amen. And my hands are cleansed. But if I preach it out of necessity, if I preach it out of a heart of bitterness and resentment, I'll have to answer to God for it. And the fine day. Beloved, what is God telling you tonight? What is God the Holy Spirit showing you? Everything He's speaking to you about is being recorded in the book. The book of the works of the Holy Spirit is being recorded. Amen. Amen. Don't take it lightly. Don't ignore it. Don't turn it away. And then there is another book that's going to be open. This is a book that so many times we say, well, wasn't that a coincidence? Wasn't that just a happen to be? But this is the book of God's divine providence. In the divine providence of God, He's allowed a lot of things to cross your path that's caused you to stop and to consider your ways, caused you to stop and take heed to your life. How many times has He let things happen that you tried to write off? Wasn't this a coincidence? But it really wasn't. How many times has there been things that have happened that made you stop and to think about your ways, about your life, about the way you were living? That didn't just happen to me. That was God's divine providence. There are no happen to be. The Bible says that every sparrow that sails through the heavenly skies, the eyes of God are upon them. That every lily that blooms in the water bows its head and dies, and God sees it. It says the grass that is only for a few hours withers and goes away, God sees it. If God sees that, there are no happen to me. There are no just luck situations. It's God. He sees. He knows. He's keeping a record. Amen. It wasn't just a coincidence that one day I was called to come to the hospital to pray for Opera Swan. And as I walked through there, I met Joe Swan. That wasn't just a happen to me that he was there. It wasn't just a happen to me that most every time I went there, either Joe or his wife, one was there. And I rubbed shoulders with them. That wasn't just a habit. They may have thought at that time it was just a coincidence, but it wasn't. God was in the whole thing. Because God knew that in a matter of months He was going to tap Joe's heart. He was going to tap his wife's heart. They were going to need somebody to turn to. And in that moment, God was breaking the ice. So when they needed that spiritual help and guidance, and as I saw Joe this morning come up and park his car there and take off time from his work to come inside and attend the worship service, and I saw him walk down in his uniform and take communion, walk back with his lovely wife back here to enjoy the blessing of God together, I says, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you that you put enough in his heart that not even his job keeps him from coming here to worship you on the Lord's day and to partake of communion. Not because he doesn't come in a fine suit. He even comes in his uniform, Lord. He's not ashamed to come in here and to worship you because you've done so much for him. Hallelujah. I thank God as I saw him walk around the altar and walk back here to where he had been seated and stand there with his family. My friend, it wasn't just a coincidence. It wasn't just a happen to be that God allowed all of this to take place. No, 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 no. And as I look at some of your lives, you thought at the time it was just a coincidence, but it was all in the divine providence of God, that God in his divine mercy, in his divine love, in his divine goodness, he allowed it to be. Amen. It wasn't just a coincidence that Gladys Hale was put down here in an apartment complex. She bellowed out to Jan about what God could do and tormented Jan so much that Jan says, I'll go and see what she's talking about. And Jan came. And tonight as I look here and see Jan, her sister, her other sister and little nephew sitting there, saw Glenn standing in the choir, you might have thought it was a coincidence, but it wasn't. It was the divine providence of Almighty God. Oh, glory to God. I could go on and on and on and on speaking about the divine providence of God. Many a time you thought, oh, it was just a coincidence that this happened this way. My, I could have been on that bridge when I had the blowout. Or my, there could have been a car coming when I swerved on the other side. And you woke up, you thought that they were just a coincidence, but it wasn't. God was seeing you. He's trying to tell you there's somebody up here that's interested in you. There's somebody up here that's got an eye on you. There's somebody up here that's looking down upon you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know what? If there's one book that I want to look at when I get up on the other side, glory be to God, I'd like to go to that book, and I'd just like to see the many times that God protected my life from the time I was a little bitty boy born into this world until that time that I came to know my Savior and my Lord. Oh, glory be to God. In those years when I did not care about myself, he cared about me, watched over me, and he took care of me, and he spared my life, hallelujah, and preserved me to that moment that I came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.